Welcome to the Hig Fodge, mofos.
Locked in the bunker, shadow shake. One man clapping secrets awake. Board games living, dice they break. Echoes pounding, hearts they quake.
Welcome to the Sound of One Man Clapping. I'm the one man coming to you direct from the bunker, celebrating 6 months of One Man Clapping. Whoa, this is a podcast about board gaming culture, and growing old gracelessly, and from time to time, other things as well. I cannot believe it's been 6 months since I sat here in the bunker and said to myself, self, I think I'd like to talk to myself about playing with myself. And 6 months later, here we are. It has been a wild ride the last couple of weeks, clappers. You know, the world of board game gaming's been dumped on its head. We got tariffs and tariffs and tariffs, and Captain Cheeto who's swinging dicks. We've got companies that are going under. We got companies that are shuttering. We got companies that are winding back a little. We've got campaigns that are not delivering. We've got everyone crapping their decks about Simon, who, you know, made a little bit less money last year than they should have, and blah, 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 doom and gloom and doom and gloom and doom and gloom. Oh, so much doom and gloom. This is a hobby that makes me so happy, and there's just so much angst and gloom and toxicity in the forums right now. I was reading something this morning, and somebody said something about something. I don't even care anymore, right? And then it was like 400 comments of, well, you don't know what you're talking about, and you're an idiot. I'm like, oh, dudes, it's board games, right? Like, this stuff's supposed to make us happy, okay? So, oh, we need some good news. So, this week, I birthed the Higvodge. If the school system can make Roy G. Biv a thing, I'm bringing the Higvodge to life. Welcome to the half-yearly, good vibes only, Jamboree. So today, instead of my regular ramblings, it's good vibes only. There's no clap, there's no news, there's no shitting on somebody who's done the wrong thing, there's no talking about something I didn't like. Today, I'm going to celebrate all the campaigns that I'm eagerly awaiting. And I'm going to celebrate all the new good stuff that's on the horizon, pre-orders I'm excited for, stuff that's coming. I mean, guys, I love, 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 love board games, and I know you do too. And it's a hard time right now to celebrate and high five, but there's a lot to be excited for. I got a lot of campaigns on the horizon, and I'm not going to navel gaze on each of them about whether I think they're going to come or not going to come, or what their individual challenges might be, or what the odds are they're going to deliver. You know, I might make one line comment on each, but what I want to do is I just want to share how excited I am. I got a lot of good stuff coming. You know, I've got the bunker. I'm absolutely in the most wonderful time of life. I'm 51 years old. I have a room dedicated to what I love to do, and I can go there, and it's my zen space, and I know how lucky I am with that. I know we don't all have a bunker. We've all got a space we go to for board games, whether that's the dining table or the master bedroom or the garage or the den or a gaming cafe. I mean, we've all got our space, and I'm in my space, and I love my space, and I love everything about it. I love the way it freaking smells. I come in, and it is just wall-to-wall cardboard. It smells like ink and cardboard and just happy memories. So today, I'm going to go through, and I got a lot of campaigns, right? I got a lot of campaigns that I've backed, and I'm really excited for. I'm going to go through them, and I'm not going to spend a half hour on each one. I'm just going to talk about what they are, what excites me about them, so that I can maybe share a little bit of happiness with all of you out there. So in no particular order, other than I've tried to put them in order of when perhaps they might be arriving on my doorstep. Here we go. So if you know me in my personal life, you know, I love to rant just a little bit, but in the end, I am really the eternal optimist. I always, always, always lean towards what's the good in this, what's the good in people. People in my life get the benefit of the doubt, sometimes twice, but at least once. Everyone gets the benefit of the doubt once. And I am genuinely excited for this year in board games. Tariffs aside, you know, I don't think they're even going to be a thing really in 6 weeks. And, you know, and I might be eating my words, but but the Orange Madman is, you know, anyway, this isn't a tariff conversation. I think that we're all going to be okay. And the thing that I want to preface this with is the absolute worst case scenario for me. The absolute worst case scenario is maybe I don't get some of my toys that I've paid for, right? Like, let's just bundle that up and look at that in the light that it deserves. There are some people out there that are going to lose, if not just their dream, where they've, you know, they've built this game in their garage and they brought it to life on Kickstarter and now they're getting absolutely fisted at the border with tariffs. You know, you've got that group of people that their dream's coming to an end and it's ending in tragedy. And in some cases, you've got companies that are having to shutter their doors. People are losing their jobs. You know, there are far worse things in this world than the things I may experience at the hands of what's going on right now. And that's why I'm just choosing to look on the bright side of life. Sorry, a little segue into my Gen X world. It's Easter after all, so we might as well remember those brave lads up on the cross. You know, just thinking it's all going to be okay. And so here they are. Here's what I'm excited about, Clappers. And, you know, if you hear this and you listen to this episode and you want to drop a line about what you're excited on, I'm going to post a question on the Guild later on and say, hey, what are you excited about? In all the doom and gloom in this year, what are you excited about? So without further ado, preamble or otherwise delay, it's not a game that I ever really had on my radar a whole lot. And it's one of those epic beige beauties. I recently bit the bullet and bought a retail copy of the Kalamala Deluxe reprint. So Kalamala is not a game I'd ever even played before. You know, it's one of those things that it's been around a long time. It's recently had a reprint with a few tweaks with art by Ian O'Toole, and I love Ian O'Toole art. This art's a little bit sort of beiger, browner than his usual fare, but it does look amazing, and the bits look amazing. And Kalamala is by Alley Cat Games, and they recently announced right at the start of all this that they wouldn't be going to retail anymore. That in order to protect, I guess, the sanctity of their business model, that going forward, if games are in retail, that they're not going to be dealing with retail. If a retailer wants to purchase their games for sale in campaigns, then that is fantastic, but Alley Cat will not be doing retail games anymore. This wasn't a FOMO thing. This was more a, this is a game that allegedly is fantastic and is very highly regarded, very highly rated, and plays really, really well. One of those real, real classics like El Grande and Tigris and Euphrates and that sort of thing. I'm not saying something with Tigris and Euphrates, another game I've never played. But given that this is going to be probably my only opportunity to add it to my collection, I look at it a little bit like a classic novel. You know, I'm not talking about War and Peace or anything, but like maybe Dune, you know, a hardcover copy of Dune. You might only read it once every 10 years, but it sits there, you know you've got it, it's a thing of beauty, and it's not available at the library. For example, shitty weird metaphor for only being two coffees in on Easter Sunday. It is Easter Sunday, happy Sunday, Om Say Crew, however you choose to celebrate. I'm an atheist, so I choose to celebrate with eggs and ham. Some people celebrate with going to mass. Happy Easter, Clappers. So Kalamala, it's not yet delivering, but I did do a pre-order. Shout out to Gameology, one of my favorite game distributors, retailers here in Australia. My favorites are, if you're in Australia, Advent Games, Dean's a Legend, More Than Meeples in Brisbane. That is Sigmund and Tristan. They are also legends, and the guys at Gameology. And there's also Games Empire at Castle Hill. They're my four favorites. If I'm going to buy games retail, that's where I try to send my money. Not necessarily in that order. It's usually whoever's stocking what I'm looking for. So I bought a retail copy of Kalamala, the deluxe reprint, which looks gorgeous. The bits look gorgeous. It's going to sit on my shelf and be gorgeous. And we'll get to play it a couple of times. That's exciting. Dragon Eclipse, which was an Awakened Realms. I know I've spoken about this last week. Dragon Eclipse is coming imminently. It's been fully delivered in Australia, but because mine is a prize copy, I won that thanks to Board Game Revolution and Thomas Covert and his team. Thank you, Thomas. Has not arrived yet, but it is coming. It is the standee version. Dragon Eclipse is like it's a creature battler. It's a 3D Pokemon. I don't know. Again, I enter the contest. I enter all the Board Game Revolution contests for anything I'm even vaguely interested in. I happen to win this one. So whether it's a game that I end up playing, or I end up, you know, passing it on to somebody else. It is coming. It is coming imminently. And it looks fantastic. And they've recently announced a campaign for a part two, which I think is a Dragon Eclipse campaign. So it's a campaign for a campaign. And I'm excited it's coming. The art looks great. They look like, I think it's a little bit too mature for the Peanut. They say 14 and up. The Peanut's a clever 10-year-old, but, you know, who knows? We'll see. That's coming imminently. And then maybe July, when I say maybe, it's definitely coming. I've got Earthborn Rangers coming. Now, Earthborn Rangers is this fantastic campaign, story-driven adventure that's done by cards. And there's some just, it's got a really wild take on this sort of stuff. And that one of my favorite little takes, and this is only, this is a spoiler, but it's a spoiler that I got by watching a review by the guys at Shut Up and Sit Down. Shout out, guys, legends, more legends. If you're not listening or watching Shut Up and Sit Down, they are fantastic. And they were talking about their experience with Earthborn Rangers, and that they'd approached this little clearing. And in the clearing, there was a little shrub, and there was a deer, and the deer was eating the shrub. And as it unfolded, the shrub was the good guy in this. The shrub, it was a sentient shrub, and the deer was eating the shrub, and you had to stop the deer from eating the shrub, right? Which is just a really wild, different take on, you know, the choose-your-own-adventure-esque kind of stuff. And it looks fantastic. It's the gameplay looks super fun. And it looks like something that the Peanut can play. And so I'm actually really hopeful that Super Trooper and I will take the Peanut and Beelzebubbles on this journey. And it could be their first campaign, because it plays four no problem. It looks super cool. They are very lucky. Well, not lucky. I guess it's part of their mandate. They're very much leaning in the vein of sustainable production. And so, and their whole thing is card related. I believe the whole game is cards with some nice components on the side, but it's all cards. And so I know that their production is all regional. So they are, not that this is a tariff podcast, but they are untouched by tariffs, because they are actually printing in the States, printing in Europe. And so they are unaffected, and it won't affect the delivery timeline for their game. And they're saying July. Now, this is a reprint, so I don't see why it would be delayed. I actually had the opportunity. I'd pre-ordered this last year. I'd ordered it in the campaign last year. And then I went to PAX in October, and there was a copy sitting at PAX. And I'm like, oh, I could have had it last year, but I didn't. So I know it's coming, and I know it's going to be great. Earthborn Rangers is meant to be a delight, and I'm super excited. It's likely going to be delivering probably around July. And another game I'm really excited for. It should be coming next month, if all things go well, and that's Tanglewoods. Now, Tanglewoods is the recent iteration by Chip Theory Games of their 20 Strong system. The 20 Strong system is an exclusively solo system, and you play with 20 dice. I think it's 20 dice, not 20 cards. It's 20 dice, and the dice are all weighted by, not mass, but weighted by the different pips that are on them, and you can upgrade your dice. And they actually create games that go with the system. So their original launch about 2 years ago, they had their 20 Strong core game, which was called Solar Sentinels, which is actually, I think, the, when I say the worst, it's the least fun of the games that are released. It's not that it's the least fun. I don't know if it's just me, but it is fucking impossible to win. And I don't mind that in a solo game, right? You throw it down, you play. And it's kind of like when you're out, you're out. You know, I don't want to win all the time. I was like that with Warp's Edge was another one that was like that. It was a bag builder solo game. It was very hard to win. Very, very hard to win. And I don't have any issue with that at all. But Solar Sentinels, it's their sort of, it was their unique IP that wasn't built on anything else. And everything else it seems that they're doing after that is based on another game IP. So in their original release, there were three decks. There was Solar Sentinels. There was a Too Many Bones deck. And it really does feel like you're playing, you know, Too Many Bones light on the table. And the other one was a Hoplomachus. And a Hoplomachus was my favorite of the three, because they'd managed to really capture the essence of Hoplomachus in those cards and those dice. You know, it was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it. And so Tanglewoods is basically a fairy tale trio. It's Snow White, Little Red Riding Hood, and Goldilocks, and the art's by Manny Tremblay. The art is off the chain fantastic. It's got that Wonderland's War vibe. It's got that Dice Throne vibe. You know that Manny Tremblay vibe, that super hyper popping ultra saturated color. And then there's a little campaign where you can play all three of them back to back with Baba Yaga. It looks great. And they had some other quality of life stuff that came with it. You know, there was a metal tracker tip in a magnetic holder. There's the alloy dice, which I did not buy. I'm not interested in spending $95 for metal dice, to be honest. It's just not. I, look, I have expensive dice. I've got a really amazingly gorgeous set of TTRPG dice. And if there are any Cinesiders looking to get into TTRPG, I've actually been reached out to a few forums. I would love to get back into TTRPG. Probably something steampunk, dieselpunk, cyberpunk-esque. I used to play Shadowrun, love Shadowrun. And it's a really different kind of escapism in board games. And so I do have some beautiful dice that were very expensive. And they are stunningly beautiful. Oh my God. But buying $90 D6s for something like 20 Strong was just not something I was interested in. However, they had a series of fantastic deck boxes. So they've got the 20 Strong Vault, which basically will hold 20 decks or 23 decks. Which tells me we're going down this rabbit hole for a long time. They had a little three-deck box, which is great for traveling, going away to Fiji, going away for the weekend. It holds your dice, your chip, and three decks, and there's a little cover that pops off, and it becomes a dice tray, which is awesome. And so there's some great quality of life stuff as part of that, so I'm very excited that that's coming. I really like 20 Strong. I think it is a very clever game design that has a lot of portability. There's a Cloudspire deck coming out later in the year with the Cloudspire campaign, and they have announced that there's going to be a Nemesis deck at some point, that they're doing a collab with Awakened Realms. And so I would love to think that they're going to be doing a lot more of these collabs going forward. You know, there might be a Scythe deck. There might be a, you know, there might be a, oh, who knows, man? Like, honestly, there could be a Dune Imperium deck. There could be an ISS Vanguard deck. I mean, the game mechanics are, I guess, loose enough that you could adjust them and skin them for just about anything, which is fantastic. So very much looking forward to Burn Cycle. Do a Burn Cycle deck. Oh, that's a sure thing, for sure. I talked about this last week. My wildest hope is that when they're done with this Cloudspire Harbinger campaign, that they're going to do their final Burn Cycle campaign and release a Burn Cycle vault like they have, you know, the Too Many Bones Trove chest and the Cloudspire chest. And so I'm wildly hopeful they're going to do one more push on Burn Cycle stuff with a 20 Strong deck and a big box to hold it all in. So yeah, Tanglewoods is coming. It should be coming next month, which is awesome. And then the next one's a bit of a weird little, no, it's not little, this is an Orange Nebula campaign, and this is Spiritfire. Now, Spiritfire, I want to say, they'd originally said, I think, that they were going to be delivering December last year, and I don't think anyone thought that was, you know, in the realm of reality. But Spiritfire is this funny game. I want to say funny in that no one can tell me how to play. You know, there's no, it's just this esoteric, ethereal thing, and it's a solo-only experience. It looks really gorgeous in that it, you know, the campaign notes and Orange Nebula's releases talk about the puzzly nature and watch this space. Spiritfire has the potential to be amazing or an amazing flop. But given Orange Nebula's background in things like Unsettled and Vestige and whatever, I can't remember what Vestige's predecessor was called. Vestige was the recent re-implement. They do these weird little things. And Spiritfire is not little by any stretch of the imagination. You know, you were able to order it whatever color you wanted. You know, the whole game and all the parts and everything comes in the color scheme of your choice, which is just wild. Of course, I ordered purple. Well, you know, Hammonds only plays purple if you can. And so Spiritfire is coming. And I suspect it's still quite a ways away. You know, they're talking about maybe July this year, but if you're reading their pages, it's probably, I can't see it happening in July because they're not even in, you know, pre-production at this point in April. So it's probably realistically another 6 months away. I'm okay with that. I'd always rather wait for a good game than have something come out just so I can have the toy in my hand. You know, I have no doubt Spiritfire will come. You know, it's an Orange Nebula product. Orange Nebula is a big company. They have a lot of different IPs. They are deeply entrenched in the retail space. And they make interesting games. I have Unsettled on the shelf. It's on my list this year to get Unsettled to the table and play Unsettled because I think it looks really cool and interesting. And I actually think the Fox would probably play Unsettled because it's puzzly. There's no combat. There's no, you're just unfolding and investigating. And I think she could get into that. So Spiritfire's coming. I've got almost everything for Spiritfire. You know, I didn't quite go all in, but close, because they had some really cool, chonky copper pieces. And if you're ever in my kitchen, you know I'm a mad slut for copper. We got copper accents and copper pot racks and copper. I love copper as a chef. So they had these chonky, beautiful copper upgrades. Not copper color, copper upgrades. I'm like, oh man. Forget alloy dice for 20 strong. Copper upgrades for Spirit Fire. I am 100% in on that. And so Spirit Fire, it's coming. I don't know when, but it's coming. And I'm super excited for it. If only because it's something really different. Will it be good? Well, I think probably. Will I enjoy it? Well, it's solo. It's not. Probably. You know, I love anything that's. I love solo gaming. And, you know, more and more we're seeing games that are being aimed directly at solo players. So, fingers crossed, it's a fun game. I have no doubt it'll come. I think it's worth being excited for because it represents bringing something to the gaming space that is different, that's genuinely different. And I can feel it already. The half-yearly good vibes only jamboree. I am just so excited for this stuff, guys. Honestly, looking forward to looking forward. So that's a handful. We got a few more. I got a few campaigns on the go. So the next one is something I'm actually really excited about, and I got in on this on very late pledge, and that is the expansion for Flock Together. So I picked up Flock Together at PAX last year. Flock Together is a cooperative chicken game. Now, I know I've spoken about this in the past. You may not have, you know, if you're only tuning in now, you won't have heard it, but Flock Together is basically, you're a bunch of chickens on the farm, and you've got to eat and feed yourself and exercise and grow and get uber buff. And you get these really cool asymmetric powers as a chicken. And you travel around the farm and you got to bash up the villains. So the villains might be a raccoon. They might be a bear. They might be a snake. And they've all got these really awesome pun names. And so, and you've got to defeat four of them. Now you're not killing them because it's a family game. You're driving them off the farm. You're kind of punching them around and you're driving them off the farm. The peanut and the fox love Flock Together. It is so fun. So Flock Together and all of the bad guys come in their own little spiral bound. It's like a little spiral bound notebook and all the characters in little spiral bound notebooks. And so, you know, and there's only four pages or five pages in them. You know, page one is your baby chicken and page two is your teenage chicken and page three is your uber buff chicken. And the bad guys are the same. You've got this little chicken or little snake and then a medium snake and a big snake. And then page four of the bad guy books is their special piece of equipment. So if you defeat them, you get their special piece of equipment, which gives you another unique set of buffs for the rest of the game. Flock Together has Andrew Bosley art. It is really fantastic. The game plays fun. It's quick. A game of Flock Together is like maybe 70 minutes. And because it's co-op, you know, there's a lot of table talk. What are we going to do? All right, we've got today's, you know, it's raining today, so we can only travel half the place because every day, half the distance, every day you've got a bit of weather playing in and the weather impacts what you're doing. I mean, one of the weather cards is a lightning strike. If you're caught outside at the end of the day, you lose 2 health because lightning hits the ground and, you know, you get fried chicken. So Flock Together, the expansion, it's just more Flock Together. When I say just, it's more characters, it's more villains, it's more weather. And there's a lot packed into that box. Hats off to the designer. He was kind enough to send me a couple of messages through Facebook when I noted in a forum how much I loved the game. And this is an independent designer doing independent stuff. And hopefully when it comes time for delivery that he's able to sidestep the tariffs in some way. Either they'll be gone or, you know, some companies have announced they're delaying delivery just to the U.S., which I think is smart. You know, everyone else is going to get their games. The U.S. games will just park in a warehouse for now because it's cheaper to pay the storage in the warehouse and potentially charge your American purchasers for that storage than it is to charge your American purchasers for the tariffs. As I said, this is good vibes only. We're not going to get drawn back into tariffs, but hopefully this particular game isn't impacted too much. We're in Australia, so we shouldn't be impacted at all. But that said, you know, for these little independent projects, if the distributor, designer, developer said, hey, if everyone gives $5, I can get these games to everybody rather than making some people pay $30, I'd probably do it. To be honest, I'd probably go, here's $5 because good vibes only. So that's jumped out to July. So now we're jumping forward to September, which sounds like a long time away, but it's like May, June, July, August, 5 months. Now 5 months is almost half a year. God, the year goes so quickly. 5 months is nothing. So, Oh, I've got one more for July. One more for July. July, August, maybe. We'll see. Not maybe if it'll... So this is Deceased. Deceased, which is the DC reskin, re-implement of Zombicide. And I'm going to park it here and talk about this one for a little bit because I'm really excited about this one. Not the least of which because I am a mad, you know, DC and Batman fan. But because, you know, Zombicide is fun, right? You get some people that shit on Zombicide, and I'm like, oh, don't shit on Zombicide. Zombicide is a blast. Okay, is it the most cerebral game you're going to play? No. Is it the 50th most cerebral game you're going to play? No. Is it super fun? Shit, yes. Zombicide is so fun. So Deceased, because of all the furor and people throwing their hands up, they're going, oh, Simon's tanking. The ship's going down. For what it's worth, I don't think that's the case. I think they're a huge company, and I'm not going to get bogged down into the recent furor over one company blaming Simon for their failure. You can go do your own reading and research on that. There's plenty out there, including Simon's made a statement about it. And if you read between the lines, it sounds like Simon had nothing to do with them going down. It's just an easy target, blah, blah, blah. Hashtag good vibes only. Bring it back, Hammers. So, Deceased. Because I was so excited about Deceased. Now, Deceased is potentially shipping July, August. Now we know Simon's famous for long delays and you know, things being pushed back. You know, they're not in pre-production. They're in full production. You know, following all the updates and whatnot. Full production, like full steam ahead. We're talking about pallet-sized crates of minis and whatnot just being pumped out of the factory. This is going. This is going to deliver. Anyone who's got Deceased, I wouldn't even be losing 1 minute of sleep because it looks like it's 90% produced already. It's coming. Whether it comes in July or August or it's nudged back to September, you know, from a business standpoint, the very best thing Simon could do is quick fire out a couple of their campaigns. Go, right, look, we're delivering. We're delivering this one too. And everybody just settles the fuck down. Okay, because, you know, consumer confidence is your absolute best friend in any business. And that would be in their interest. And to be honest, they've gone quite silent over the tariffs and stuff. And everyone's going, oh, Simon's not saying anything. I think it's the right move. Why say anything? You don't have any answers. You've got 16 unfulfilled campaigns. You've got no answers. Just sit there, right? You've already got my money. You don't need to make any excuses to me. You're not putting a sales pitch to me. You've already got my money. Everyone, it's like, suck it and see. Like, we just gotta wait. As I said in the onset, the absolute worst outcome for me is I don't get some of my toys. Okay, I'll probably live. So Deceased for me is very exciting, and to, I guess, unpick a bit about why I find Deceased so exciting, I've got to wind back a couple of years. So this was PAX 2023. Which was actually PAX Australia. This was my first PAX experience, 2023. And Lou and I did a road trip. We went down together and we spent the 3 days. We only went 2 days that year because I had to be back at work. So we went Friday, Saturday, we came home Sunday. And we kind of parted ways, you know, because Lou's into video games, I'm into board games. And we would get together for lunch and get together in the afternoon. And in the evening after sort of dinner time, we'd play a couple of board games together because everything was shut. And I'd always wanted to play Zombicide. And because none of my friends own Zombicide, I don't think. I think Battleships might own Zombicide. Maybe. But he, you know, he lives up Central Coast or whatever, wherever. You know, he might as well be in another country. I got Zombicide 2nd Edition. It was in the library. I got it out and I said, Lou, I'd like to play this. She's like, oh, it looks so dodge. I'm like, yeah, it does, doesn't it? But let's do it. So we played it. We both loved it. We just loved it. It was Zombicide 2nd Edition, just the base game. And it was so fun. Like, I don't think we won. We got overrun. Or did we? We might have. Don't care even. Don't care. Because it's just so, you get so overrun. It's so hopeless. You got the runners and you got the brutes and the abominations. And all of a sudden, five turns in and it's the Walking Dead out there. And it's wild and crazy. You've got great little bits of equipment you've got. And you've got to kick down doors. And that makes noise. And blah, 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 blah. So anyway, loved it. And so later on, you know, sometime after that, Deceased goes live and Marvel Zombies in the meantime was delivering. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay, Marvel Zombies, whatever. I like Marvel. You know, Super Trooper loves Marvel. He has everything Marvel United. I'm sure he has two of some things. And so Deceased was very exciting to me. And now I went all in on Deceased. All in. all in, the Omega Pledge, just give it all to me. Whether I paint them or not, I don't know. It's a lot of painting. I might just do a bit of an ink wash because there's something like 200 minis or something in the whole set. I can't see it, given that I have like 14 minis for Aeon Trespass. We're on our second run of cycle one and they're still not painted. I can't see it happening unless I'm going to load the paint into a fire hose and set all the minis out in the driveway and just fucking just hit them all. So I went all in on Deceased. And Deceased is, it looks very exciting. So fast forward, this is going to about 3 or 4 weeks ago. The Zombicide, so for example, Marvel Zombies and both for Deceased, Simons released sort of a small box retail version, a sort of a light version. And it doesn't double up on anything really from the campaign, but it's kind of a retail thing, which is smart because it's good for cash flow. People are excited about Deceased. It's good for cash flow. People are buying it. It's called Deceased Gotham City Outbreak, and it's got, I think, 10 scenarios in it. So I loaded that into my Amazon cart, as I'm wont to do. You know, I load things in my Amazon cart, and then I wait till Amazon goes, hey, did you know this is on sale, 20% off? I go, sure, patink, I'll have that. And so I did. Deceased Gotham City Outbreak arrived, I think, last week. And here I am, stuck at home alone because my teenagers are at their mom's place and my beautiful wife and my youngest daughter are at Poppy Nana's. And because we couldn't find a cat minder for our lovely little cat, I am stuck here all by myself. Whatever will I do with my time? Oh, last night I'm going to get Deceased out. So Deceased Gotham City Outbreak, look, it's a standee version. I won't go so far as to call it the unplayable version. It is, you know, it's Simon Light. You've got minis for all the main characters and whatnot, but then all the zombies are standees, which is fine, actually. When you've got to load 13 standees into one square, if they're minis, they're basically piled on top of each other like World War Z. So I played Deceased last night. Absolutely loved every minute of it. I lost horribly, as you do in Zombicide. But it was a blast, and I am just so excited for Deceased to deliver. Now, I am far from Nostradamus. I've said before on the pod, I am not an economist. And there are a lot of people out there going, oh my God, Deceased, it's not going to deliver, it's not going to deliver. DC United, it's not going to deliver. I would be, again, I think it's very, very unlikely that this particular campaign is not going to deliver. As I said, it is 90% produced. I think it's far more likely that they will make one of two decisions. They will either park all of the American pledges in a warehouse until such time as this whole tariff nonsense settles down, or they'll go, hey guys, it's going to be an extra whatever it is. Could be a lot. I don't know what the production cost on something like that is. The Omega Pledge production cost is probably something like $80 or $90. So you're probably looking at, we're now at 245%. So what's that? That's another like $200 if you want it delivered. That would hurt. That would hurt. But it's not their problem. Not their problem. It's not their fault. It's not Simon's fault. It's no one's fault. I mean, you know, it's just, it is what it is. So, look, I have no doubt it'll deliver. It's nearly finished. It's coming. But I can say that having played Gotham City Outbreak last night and playing Zombicide, which is a blast, and playing Zombicide with superheroes, which is so fun, I may have Marvel Zombies on the way. I just, you know, last night, just sitting around all by myself, I'm left unsupervised with a bank account and, you know, access to the internet. So there may be some Marvel Zombies on the way, which would tide me over quite nicely till this Deceased delivers, because as I said, I like Marvel. I love DC, but I like Marvel. So that's Deceased and Zombicide. And, you know, Zombicide's one of those things where Simon catches a lot of flack because it's like, oh, you got Zombicide everything. You got Roger Rabbit Zombicide. There is no Roger Rabbit Zombicide. I'm being facetious. But you've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you've got ancient Renaissance Zombicide, and you've got, what are they filling now? White Death. White Death, which is in, it's winter. It's basically Zombicide with white tiles. You know, I'm assuming there's some other mechanic in there. And people are like, whoa, do we really need another Zombicide? Well, no, you don't need another Zombicide. But this means that if you don't have Zombicide, maybe they're now making your flavor. I don't like ice cream. I really, like, I'm not a big fan. But you put salted caramel in front of me, salted caramel ice cream, I'm like, yeah, hook that shit up to my veins. Or, my God, peanut butter ice cream? There's a couple peanut butter ice creams out there. Oh, my Jesus. I'm not an ice cream fan, but you put peanut butter ice cream in front of me and I will eat until I die. Honestly, I will just eat that stuff until I check out. So I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be shocked at all if there's another Zombicide campaign that comes up sometime soon. You know, you can actually get Zombicide The Boys. These are expansions that play with second edition. If you want different flavors of Zombicide, there are, it's like Baskin-Robbins. There are 31 flavors of Zombicide to choose from. Do we need more? I don't need more. I like the superhero version. I don't feel the need, you know, I don't even own it yet. It's on the way. But for me, the superhero version is what I'm in for. You know, who knows? Who knows what else they can come up with? Cthulhu Death May Die Zombicide. There you go. License to Star Wars Zombicide. Holy shit. Can you imagine Star Wars Zombicide? Can you just imagine? Force push, all the zombies fly off the edge of the table. License to print money. There you go. That's Deceased. I am very excited about Deceased. Good vibes only. Got a few more to go. This is when you talk about OMC's rabbit hole for crowdfunding. It's a deep hole with lots of rabbits in it, and those rabbits are multiplying. So we are now into September. So September, I have Speakeasy. My man Vitaly Cerda has a game coming called Speakeasy. Oh, I love Prohibition era stuff. I love mobsters and rum running and Tommy guns. And all of that is in this game. There are little meeples with Tommy guns. There are trucks with barrels of rum. There are boats running barrels. There are gangsters that come in for area majority. There's blah, 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 blah. I love a Vitaly Cerda game. And this one just ticked so many boxes for me. I love Goodfellas. I loved Boardwalk Empire with Steve Buscemi, one of the best series ever made. So, so, so good. So Speakeasy is delivering in September. Again, this is Eagle Griffin Games. This is a Vitaly Cerda game. It will 100% deliver. In what form or whether there's an extra fee for you Americans, it's September. September is an eon away. Plenty of time for Mr. Orange to calm down. I think that's the only thing that could possibly happen. Is China's like, we don't care, man. We don't care. You want to tariff us? Look around my house. What American goods do I have in my house? I think that Speakeasy is going to be fantastic. It's coming in September. I am super excited for it. He has two more projects in the pipeline. One called The Great Library of Alexandria, which, to be honest, is probably not to my taste. Just the theming and the look of it. Who knows? It's a Vital game, maybe. It's probably more a Super Trooper thing. He loves that kind of historical stuff. And then the next one after that is called Resorts, or it's a resort-themed one where, you know, you're basically building the Fiji Islands. So maybe. We'll see. But Speakeasy, I am extremely excited for. And then around September as well is Pest Part 2. So Pest is a little indie project by, oh, I want to say it, Arcona? Not Archon. Archon's a different company. Arcona Games, which is like three dudes in a garage it's in the Mediterranean somewhere, and they're making indie games. You know, they make little projects that fund at like 200 grand, whatever the case is, and Pest is one of those companies. Arcona Games is one of those companies we need. They're making Philharmonics, and they've just done The Great Harbor, which is another campaign that's just finished. Neither one of those have I backed, you know, but they're making clever games. And Pest Part 2 is some quality of life enhancements because there were some issues with the first production run. It's a big box to put it all in. It's expansions. It's more stuff. It's a you know, neoprene playmat. It's all the good stuff. And as I've said in the past, you know, this is the kind of stuff that I like to have as part of my stable of projects that I support, because our industry needs companies like this. Really, really needs companies like this, because we can't just have everything in Seamon and Awakened Realms and Mind Clash and whatnot. So Pest Part 2, it's coming hopefully August, September. Very much looking forward to that. And now we're into the very late half of the year. Cloudspire Harbinger. Cloudspire is such a good game. And, you know, they call it a cult hit because, you know, and people either like love it or they're like, ugh. It's a tower defense game. It's an action programming tower defense game. And the solo on Cloudspire is the only way I've played it so far. I've never played it with other people. I 100% would. We talked about Chip Theory Games last week in a little bit of detail, but Cloudspire Harbinger is bringing new factions, new things to add to the game, and a big box storage solution like the Trove Chest. So it's very exciting. And also the aforementioned Cloudspire 20 Strong deck, which is really exciting. I can't wait to see what they've done with the 20 Strong deck. Cloudspire is one of those things that I have played the solo campaign. I think I made it through three of the factions. I have everything except for one, which I took with the new campaign. So I think I have four factions, or maybe five factions. I think I've played against three of them. And it's fantastic. Every faction plays differently. You know, it's not hard to play the solo because each faction has a very clear action programming flowchart for each turn, for each round. It says this is what you're building, this is what you're doing, and this is what you do next. And Cloudspire is super fun. It is super fun. It's very thinky. It is one-player chess. I guess that makes it sound shit, like chess sometimes makes people go, ugh. It's not chess. But it is super fun. And I'm very much excited, very much looking forward to Cloudspire. It's going to deliver October-ish. Chip Theory's got a reputation for usually delivering on time, sometimes even a little bit early. And they've been absolutely knocking it out of the park lately with Victorum upgrades, with Betrayal of the Second Era, which is finally delivered recently. And so, look, and there was a third one. They were delivering three simultaneously. Oh, Tanglewoods is coming. That's all Chip Theory. So this one's coming, which means they're probably ripe now that they've only got one campaign that's in the late stages to be announcing something new, I would suggest. Oh, the Dragons of Etchingstone they've just announced, which is a small box. It's done by the designer of Buttons and Bugs. And it's basically, it's Mage Knight in your hand. It's a palm playable card solo game that's based on Mage Knight. Dragons of Etchingstone. I didn't back that. I love Mage Knight. I think Mage Knight's fantastic. I own the Star Trek reskin, re-implement of it. And I think Mage Knight is a triumph. I don't need Mage Knight in my hand. I've got plenty of little games to play. But there, that's coming to a close shortly. And it's only a deck of cards. So, look, watch this space. I think we're probably ripe for Chip Theory to announce something else cool and wonderful soon. And then into November, I've got a handful of stuff coming in November. And so November, the big one for November is Revenant. Revenant by Mind Clash Games, which is the Euro based in the Voidfall universe. It's single board. It's got kind of Battlestar Galactica vibes on the board. Not in the gameplay, but on the board. And it's got some really interesting mechanics in that ships are your worker placement spaces. So you travel to different ships. And if the ships have sort of blipped out to different systems, then you can't get to them for that turn. So there's this really clever mechanic of managing your fleet, because other players can come to your fleet for your worker placement spaces. Revenant looks fantastic. I am all in on Revenant. I've got everything Revenant coming. It looks gorgeous. I've got even the little metal bits and pieces. It's all coming for Revenant. November is a fun time for crowdfunding delivery. You know, it's always nice to say you're going to get it in November because you've got it by Christmas time, even if it's a month late. Who knows? I don't even care if it's on time. You know, I know Mind Clash makes really good games. I've not been let down by Mind Clash yet. I've got Ironwood. I've got Anachrony. I've got a few more. You know, without looking around trying to take stock, I've got a few more Mind Clash games. Obviously, Voidfall, my baby Voidfall, which I am well overdue to play a game of, even solo. Voidfall's a triumph. It's my favorite game of all time. And Revenant looks to be fantastic. It looks excellent. It looks engaging. It looks interesting. And it's in the same Voidfall universe. And obviously, Eno Tool Art. So, yay, Eno Tool Art. Also, in November, we're going back to, you know, the roots, Gen X roots. We've got Unmatched Adventures, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pack coming. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, look, I've got some Unmatched. I play Unmatched solo occasionally. I don't really get to tell much with other people because Unmatched is kind of like, you know, okay, this is going to sound like I'm tearing Unmatched down. I'm not. Unmatched is fun, but there's not much of a decision space. Right, you're either going to play a card and hit someone, and you're going to draw a card and you're going to move. It kind of plays itself. When I say it plays itself, like there's some strategy in how you play the cards and what you play, for sure. But it's not like, I mean, and it's so, when I say unmatched, it should be called unbalanced. You know, there's some characters who just will shit all over other characters. That said, it is a world of fun. And the thing with Unmatched Adventures is you can play solo, you can play cooperative. I've got the original Adventures pack here, which I have not played. That's with the Mothman and the Alien Invasion. And I think the Peanuts probably 6 or 8 months away from playing Unmatched. So Unmatched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles coming. It's coming with, you know, Bebop and Rocksteady and Usagi Yojimbo and Casey Jones. And if those names mean nothing to you, it's probably because you're under 40. and Shredder and Krang. God, there's an R, isn't there an R? Anyway, brain in his stomach. He was hilarious. The weirdest supervillain ever. Looking forward to that. I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and we'll probably just play the death out of that solo. So that's coming in November, along with All Play has a trio coming in November. So All Play's coming, and you can see why it's such an exciting year. I don't know. How many games have I got coming? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 15, 16, 17. 17 games coming for the end of the year. Oof. God, that sounds like such a... That's a big number. So anyway, All Play had a campaign this year with a... 17, 18, 19, 20. I missed three. 20 games between now and the end of the year. If I get all my toys. And if I don't, you know what? I'm a big boy. I'll get over it. All Play had a campaign this year with a trio of games. They released three games, and you think you get one or two or all three. And that was Waddle, which is this gorgeous little penguin slidey game. Twinkle, which is this game where you're building constellations with these gorgeous little acrylic transparent tiles. And Merchants of Andromeda, which is a reprint from memory of a Reiner Knizia game with a Dutch auction in it, which is such a mind game. I can't wait. Dutch auctions are a mind game. Dutch auctions are everyone's bidding, and the first person, the value of something is decreasing at a rate, and the first person to bid gets it. And so the first person to bid will get it, and everyone else is out. So it's how long do you wait? How long do you wait? And they've got a little app that goes with it where you put your fingers on your phone, and the first person to let their finger off the phone gets it. It's going to be fantastic. And so that is November. November's All Play. And then we're into December. This is Christmas. I have very low expectations that any of these are going to deliver by the end of the year. I think they probably put December on their campaign because it was still in 2025. I'm okay with that. You know, I still would have backed it, but I have a funny feeling that they've put December 2025 on their campaign so that people who are like, oh, I'm not waiting until 2026 will back. Because some of these are massive. The first one I'll talk about, IV Studios had a recent campaign that concluded called The Scales of Fate. The Scales of Fate is this quirky and wonderful small board two-player game, which is a bit of a head game back-to-back with a tiny bit of social deduction in it. And Scales of Fate has these gorgeous, chonky bits. And you set up the board and you play and you're putting pieces out. Look, I'm not here to talk about the game in detail because I'll do that when it comes. But Scales of Fate, I have a funny feeling Late Pledge will be opening soon. I don't think they're in Late Pledge yet. But IV Studios has a reputation for making really beautiful production games. Things like, I think they did Moonraker and Fractured Sky and a few other things. And their production is excellent. Scales of Fate looks wonderful. It looks like a half hour of screw you with a reveal at the end, which is great. And I'm not much into social deduction games because... right, but the social deduction aspect of this is more a little bit of Cluedo, where each player has two gods, demigods in their hand, and there are I think 9 or 10 demigods on the board, and based on how, for example, if I'm playing Super Trooper, based on how he's moving the different demigods around, because you can move all 9 or 10 demigods around, but only your demigods will score at the end. And so based on what he's deciding to do, I have to guess at the end what I think his demigods are. That's not the whole game. It's not win or lose on that, but that has bonus points in it. And given that the end game score potentially could be one, because you score based on the differential of your two demigods. So if one of them's on 5, one of them's on 6, you're going to have an end game score of 1. If they're both on 5, you get 5 points. So that's where, you know, it's trying to unpick, well, what's he doing? Why is he moving that there? And then if I manage to guess both of his demigods, I get another 3. So, you know, winning scores on this are going to be something like 4 kind of thing. And it looks fantastic. And they had another game as part of that campaign called Pillars of Fate. Pillars of Fate is a lane battler. It's a lane battler sort of compile style, but it's got a few other bits and pieces in it, including they've managed to port this little bit of, again, calling it social deduction is a disservice because it's not social deduction. I'm not trying to work out, you know, who the werewolf is or who the murderer is or any of that sort of stuff, but it's just trying to unpick and based on your opponent's movements, having a guess at what one little piece of hidden information might be. And for me, that's enough because Social deduction games typically make my skin crawl. I'm just not, it's not my thing. It's not my jam. Social deduction, it's like railway games, you know, the 18XX games. They don't make my skin crawl, but it's like spreadsheet the game. I'll play one. I'd love to try one, but I can't imagine that it's the kind of thing that I'm going to look at long term. And it's the same with social deduction. I will play. I don't enjoy. I don't hate it. I don't hate it, but it's not my thing. So Scales of Fate, Pillars of Fate, they will, because these are small games that look like they're nearly finished, if not totally finished. If we're lucky, we'll get those before December, which would be nice. Because I'm going to have a couple weeks off in January, we can play some of those. And then into the big ones. These are the big games for December. So if you're still listening 51 minutes down the track on this one, I hope you're getting good vibes. I hope you're excited. I hope you're thinking about your own campaigns, your own stuff that's coming, because it's a time to be excited. You know, fuck tariffs, fuck the orange monkey. Like, who cares, right? The world's a big place. The world is a big place, and the dust will settle, and some people and some companies won't survive, and that is awful. And when I say fuck it, I'm not talking about them. Guys, like, my heart, if your business and your livelihood is impacted by this, my heart goes out to you, brothers and sisters, because that is awful that your whole, you know, raison d'etre is being undermined by the whims of, you know, one person, one administration. I hope you're okay. I don't mean to de-minimize that sort of strife. What I'm saying is, for me, the end user, man, like, if three or four of these don't end up coming to fruition because the world at large, okay, that's life. You know, I've got a lot of other toys. I'll be okay. But I'm very excited. So December. Ooh, so Avalon the Riven Vale, which is done by Shadowborn Games, who did Oathsworn, which is also sitting on my shelf. I've played 3 of the 25 missions of Oathsworn solo and decided this was amazing enough that I needed to put it away and reset it and play it with friends. It plays really well solo. I can see why Oathsworn got all the accolades it did. It's a very exciting bit of game, and this is a very different sort of game. It couldn't be more different, in fact, because it has the look and feel of an area majority war game, but it's actually a Euro resource management game. And it's kind of hard to see that on first glance, but when you actually watch the gameplay for it, it looks like you're playing Blood Rage or something. And there is that to it. You know, and to be honest, when I first went down the rabbit hole, I thought, well, I'm going to back this. I don't have an area majority war game in my collection. It is that-ish, but it's more resource management. It's a Euro resource management with a little bit of area majority, and it is gorgeous. Oh my God, the production is so many toys, so much good stuff, and you know, hopefully they're not impacted by what's going on, because it's an expensive production. This is an expensive bit of toy to make. The toyetic factor is off the chart on this. Again, this is December. December is an eternity away. A lot can happen between now and then. And you know, this is why a lot of these campaigns aren't even releasing statements on what's happening, because it's so irrelevant. Like, it changes from one minute to the next. Releasing some sort of statement on, what are you going to do? It's like, well, I don't know. I'll let you know in 10 months when we see what kind of carnage and fallout is settling on the world. So Avalon coming in December, maybe, you know, look, and if it's not, as I said, I'm happy to wait for a great game than get something earlier that's good. But it's a big game with a lot of production, a lot of tweaking. There's a lot of moving parts on there, so they need to gameplay and develop the shit out of it. And then we're into a couple of campaigns that I will bet money that there is no way on God's green earth we're getting them this year. And the first one is Lands of Evershade. Lands of Evershade is a massive choose-your-own-adventure RPG-esque bonanza by Awakened Realms. It looks freaking spectacular. You build your character out and you're going out, and it's basically tabletop role-playing, but there's no DM. The game is the DM. And, you know, it's not all combat either. Like, you can resolve some stuff through negotiation or diplomacy. And you might say, well, yeah, we can do that. We can do that in lots of games. This looks very, very different. You know, there's a push your luck element with a bag draw. And the characters look amazing. Of course, it's Awakened Realms, so the minis look spectacular. And I actually think by the time this comes, the Peanut is going to be absolutely gagging for something like this, because she actually loves a bit of one-shot D&D. You know, obviously we toned that down. Lou's run a couple of mini one-shots, you know, 2 and 3 hour one-shots, and she is all in on that shit. And I think she's going to be absolutely gagging for something like Lands of Evershade. It is due, allegedly, to come in December. I think it would be fair to say it could be another year. Could be December 2026. Beautiful game. I am all in for Lands of Evershade. And when I say all in, I mean all in. I've got the acrylic tokens. I haven't got the metal coins because I have metal coins coming out of my ass in the bunker. I don't need more metal coins that are generic. But Lands of Evershade looks great. And when it comes, it comes. If it comes in December, amazing. I can't see it happening just because it is such a massive, massive thing. And it's April. And I don't think we're even in pre-production for it. But so what? It is worth being excited over. Lands of Evershade. I'm super excited for Lands of Evershade. I think it is going to be a spectacular thing to get to the table. And it's a part of this new swell of games with mini campaigns. You know, like Betrayal of the Second Era, where a campaign is 15 hours, not 50 hours. You know, you might do it in 5 3-hour sessions, or I think they can be done in 10 to 15 hours. You can do it in 4 2-hour sessions or 5 2-hour sessions. And I love that. I love that because it's easier to table. It's easier to finish before you've forgotten what the hell you're doing. And I think it's going to be fantastic. Very excited. And the other one, I am supremely excited for. And that game, of course, is Enormity. So Enormity by Into the Unknown, the studio that's brought us the Eternal Punishment that is Aeon Trespass. I want to say Eternal Punishment. I'm loving every minute of it. Super Trooper and I recently failed Cycle 1 and had to start again. And I was like, oh, really? We are bombing through Cycle 1 and we are miles ahead of where we were last time. We're not far away from the point at which we lost the campaign. And we're doing much, much better this time. Not only that, there's some great aspects of this. When you restart the campaign, some bits carry over, so you get new reveals and new huzzas. And so Enormity is their space crawler, we'll call it. It is, you know, there's eight campaign expansions, I think. So there's a main game plus 7. It's a lot. And again, each of those represents, I think, 20 to 24 hours. So it's another one where, you know, you set it up and you're not committing to 900 hours to finish a campaign. I think from memory, each one represents sort of maybe, I can't remember, 24, 30, 32 hours. And each of them will unlock different things. So you've got this massive, massive ship called the Shepherd. Mass Effect vibes, thank you very much. And each campaign unlocks different things. So you don't have to play them in order, but each one adds to the, I guess, the living, breathing aspect of the game. And we'll carry through, allegedly, to other bits. It is looking to be, I mean, if they pull this off, it is going to be a masterclass in game design. And I have to say, Aeon Trespass is a masterclass in game design because we've only, I think, in all the hours we put in there, we came across one conflict of the game design yesterday. We were in a scenario and it said, well, if you've got this box checked, do this. And if you've got this box checked, do that. And I'm like, dude, we have both boxes checked. And I've been very careful with these fucking boxes. But that said, it's bound to happen in a game of that size and magnitude. But that is the only, and in the end, it was irrelevant. It was like, well, if you've got this box checked, you're gaining a diplomacy. And if you've got this box checked, you're losing a diplomacy. I'm like, well, you know what? We're just going to do both because they're both tipped. And we ended up, it was a zero-sum game. And it wasn't a hugely relevant impact on the game for the day. Spoiler alert, we played 12 and a half hours of Aeon Trespass 2 days ago on Good Friday. It should have been called a fucking great Friday. It was such a good day. Good vibes only. And so Enormity. Enormity, regular progress updates out of Into the Unknown, and they all look fantastic. They are bombing along. The minis and sculpts for Enormity are unique and wild and interesting, and the different races you're going to encounter are unique and wild and bizarre, and it's just so different. It's not, you know, even just for interest, go check out the sculpts on the updates, because some of the stuff coming out for Enormity, like these creatures are just, they are bizarre. You know, we're not talking xenomorphs and lizards and stuff. Like, it's just really weird. There's weird stuff, and it looks so good. But I think that it would take some sort of miraculous act of God for this to deliver this year. And I don't care, right? Like, I think from memory, Aeon Trespass delivered 18 months after its proposed date. And the polish in the game shows that. And so, look, it's on my list of things that I'm excited about. If it comes this year, and again, they're doing split shipping. So they're sending the core box out, and I think one or two of the quality of life upgrades, and then all the expansions are coming a year later. So maybe they'll have the core box out this year, and the core box, I think, has three campaigns attached to it, three, you know, runs through the ship. I can't recall. I am all in for Enormity. Everything except the sleeves, because the sleeves for Enormity, just if you wanted to sleeve everything, was going to be something like $400. And I'm like, nope. I'll get one set of sleeves and I will sleeve what I need to sleeve. They're just standard size cards anyway. I wasn't going to spend $400 on a palette of sleeves, you know, to then sleeve literally everything for Enormity. But other than that, I'm all in. I'm all in for all the gameplay. Most of the upgrades is, again, it's going to have a squillion minis that probably never get painted, but the gameplay looks fantastic. If you watch some of the gameplay, it really is clever. It's a clever bit of gameplay. And one of the things I love about Aeon Trespass is the more damage your character takes, the more powerful you are. You know, Into the Unknown calls it the inverted combat paradigm. So instead of taking crippling wounds that make you slower and swing less, you get enraged, you get emboldened. You know, every time you take a wound, you draw a wound card. Sometimes on Friday, Super Trooper got insulted. He got wounded, he drew his wound card, he was insulted, which allowed his character to stand up and take three steps and do a bonus attack. And so the more bashing your characters take, the more powerful they get and the more wild combat gets. And it's so fun. So that's Enormity. December, maybe. And that's for wave one is December. And so December's wave one. Wave two is probably 2036. Who cares? It's coming and I'm so excited. Good vibes. And then, you know, putting my money where my mouth is. Last week, if you listen, I said with all the doom and gloom going on, I'm making the decision as a regular backer of games and as a regular buyer and as somebody who is deep into the crowdfunding space with my cash, I have backed The Adventurers, which is the new campaign by Simon. There's a lot of people like, well, I'm not going to back until I hear a statement about your finances. And the head of, I think, finance for Simon got on the chat and said, well, a comment like that's far more suited for a forum where we're talking to our shareholders. So we're not going to do that. And I kind of went, you know what? I've got to respect that. When you've got the common man going, I want to see your financials. It's like, you know what? People out of 10 wouldn't understand them anyway. And for the 1 in 10 out there who work high-level business, I work high-level business, I understand financials, I can read an annual financial report. Maybe it's more than 1 in 10. I'm not trying to be dismissive or insulting. But when you've got some guy who's like, I'm not giving you my $200 until I see your financial statements and report for 2024. And Simon just went, well, if you want to be a part of that, then become a shareholder. Until then, here's what we're offering. And I quite like that, you know, and I don't think Simon's gone quiet because they are in strife. I just think they don't have answers. There's no answer. It's like, you know what, guys, so I'm treating it. Last week I said I'm going to treat it business as usual. And if I end up losing out, I lose out. So I went in on The Adventurers, which looks like an absolute blast. It's three games in one big box. It's Indiana Jonesy with rolling gigantic boulders and walls that are closing and walls that are floors that are collapsing and floods. It looks so fun. Like, so fun. Like, zombicide fun. I'm not talking about heavy, like, high. I'm not talking about Voidfall fun. I'm talking about zombicide fun. Cthulhu Death May Die fun. I played Fireball Island for the first time on Friday with Super Trooper, the Peanut, and Beelzebubbles, and the Fox. We played a five-player game of Fireball Island. It was madness. It's madness. Fireball Island is madness, but it was fun. The Adventurers looks fun, so I'm all in on the Adventurers. I mean, all in isn't much. It's not like a normal CMON campaign where you've got FOMO and FOMO and FOMO, and now you've got acrylic tiles, now you have metal money, and now you have special napkins and toilet paper that you can have to celebrate while you're doing a poo. You can either get the games individually, or you can get a big box with all of them together, and the big box comes with a couple extra frills in it. So I'm all in. That's supposed to deliver January. I mean, it's CMON, so they said January 2026. Look, I am moving forward in my gaming life as though this is all just going to blow over like a fart in the wind, okay? And that's my choice. You know, if you want to bunker down and hold on to your cash, I think that's just as smart. There's no, like, that's a smart decision. Is CMON probably using this pre-order campaign for cash flow? Sure, probably. And that's probably why it's a pre-order and not another campaign, not another crowdfunding campaign, because a pre-order is a pre-order. It's not subject, if anyone wants to look back and say, well, you did that pre-order and you used that money for other things. Like, sure, I did. It's not a campaign. It's not subject to that sort of restriction. And that's what business does. It's not a Ponzi scheme to diversify your business. A lot of people are using the word Ponzi, like it's a Ponzi scheme, it's a Ponzi scheme. A Ponzi is a very specific thing, right? I'm not trying to shit on anyone's assessment of the situation. But if a business wants to diversify their revenue streams so they have more cash flow, that's just smart business. And if doing a pre-order for something injects $1 million, which allows them to continue operating, that's business, baby. That's the way things go. Is it bad business? Not really. Is it unethical? Not really. It's just business. And I, you know, if my buying the Adventurers and taking a gamble on the Adventurers means that Zombicide White Death gets delivered and Deceased gets delivered and DC United gets delivered and something else further down the track allows the Adventurers to be delivered, well, okay. That's life. It wasn't thousands of dollars. But I'm very excited about the Adventurers. So that is the grand sum total of my current pre-orders and campaigns at 1 hour and 8 minutes. You can see I'm all in, right? I've drank the Kool-Aid and I have a bunker. I still have something like 35 empty calyx cells in the bunker, so I'm not running out of space anytime soon. I think I worked out Deceased is going to fill 2 or 3 of those all by itself, but whatever. Other things I'm really excited about. Look, I have been very excited about Compile 2. Compile 2 was meant to be coming out later this year. It is a Greater Than Games game, and Greater Than Games has announced that they will be winding down to a skeleton crew to manage their current operations. And so the future of Compile 2 is kind of an unknown. Compile is a fantastic game. It's a lane battler. One of my favorite games of last year. Absolutely love Compile. It is tight. It is tactical, it is fun, it is surprising, it is a knife fight in a phone booth, and Compile 2 is more Compile. It was like, I don't know, 15 more modules that you can just swap in and mix and match. And look, I'll be watching for it. You can still on some websites pre-order Compile from some of our local game stores. I don't know what the future of Compile is, whether it's going to continue, whether someone else will pick up the IP. I'm not sure. But I'm still excited. Compile 2, if Compile 2 does release this year, I will absolutely pick up a copy because I think Compile is a spectacular game. Other things that are exciting, Phoenix New Horizons is a game that I have been gagging to play since it was released at Essen last year. It's a European release. It is Euro with chonky bits and great art and interesting interplay between the different parts. I have seen Phoenix New Horizons for pre-order here at some of my friendly local game stores. It's not on shore right now. And I have heard, whether it continues or not, but I have heard that Devir is doing a reprint. So Devir has picked up the license for Phoenix New Horizons, and we're doing a reprint. They'll probably shove it in a box a quarter the size of the current box and go, hey, look, another small box game, but it's not a small box game. Phoenix New Horizons is not a small box game. There are some other things that I'm equally excited about. I will do these more in sort of a shotgun quickfire because good vibes only, guys. I got a lot that I'm excited about this year. Unannounced formally this year, but Voidfall's getting expansion this year. Huzzah! More Voidfall. Hopefully May, June. Betrayal of the Second Arrow is going to get more content end of the year. I've not played the content I have currently. I've played a few games and it's fantastic, but they're going to bring more provinces, more stuff, more gear. Stonemaier has a game coming out in probably June that looks very exciting, and that's called Vantage. Now, I was watching a bit of a presentation he was doing online this morning. Jamie Stegmaier is very transparent. He loves to chat. He loves to share his business practices. His initial production run for Vantage is 50,000 units. I mean, wow, right? 50,000 is the original, the initial print run. I mean, that's exceptional. And I know he's obviously, as a businessman, and Stegmaier as a business, has a lot of sort of unease around what's going to happen with bringing things to the US. Good vibes only. That's a tomorrow problem. And you know what? There will be an answer there somewhere. But I'm very excited about Vantage. Vantage has this interesting and unique gameplay mechanic in that we're all crashed on a planet. We're all in different parts of the planet. And we have cards in front of us that show a vista or a viewpoint. And so we're all looking at the planet from our own vantage point. And other players can't see your card. And we've got to navigate around. It's a co-op game, I think, from memory. We've got to navigate around and achieve certain things. There's something ridiculous, like 1,800 cards in the game. I might have that number wrong. It's a big number. The box is probably going to weigh 9 kilos and it's all cardstock. But it looks interesting and unique and super fun. Vantage is coming. Other campaigns that I'm excited about this year, I don't know much about it, but Druid City's relaunching a game called Bloodstone this year, and it's a campaign that didn't get over the line for whatever reason, and it looks interesting. I'm watching it. Again, I'm excited about it. I'm watching for the launch of Nippon, which is a reprint and second edition. Now, I don't know anything about Nippon is Japan, but it's a Euro from 20 years ago, whatever the case is, and apparently amazing. One of those that is really exceptional and has some interesting stuff. The art looks interesting. I won't say amazing. It's not smartphone, but it doesn't look like something that's sort of over the top, but interesting to see what that has. Inish the Big Box is coming. I've never played Inish. I know nothing about Inish except that apparently it's a fantastic game. So Inish the Big Box is coming this year. It's on my watch list. I will see what's happening with Inish the Big Box. Galactic Cruise announced expansions later in the year. I don't know if Galactic Cruise needs expansions because, wow, I haven't played the modules all that I've got. But I will say Galactic Cruise is an exceptional game. Galactic Cruise is absolutely my kind of Euro. It's got a Lacerda feel, but it's smoother. I'm not trying to diminish Lacerda's, but Lacerda's, it's not, smooth is maybe the wrong word, but everything in Galactic Cruise makes sense. Everything you do locks in and makes sense. Like Kanban, everything in Kanban makes sense. Kanban EV by Lacerda, everything makes sense. I just hate the scoring. I'm not a fan, hate's a strong word. I'm not a fan of the scoring, the way it scores. I find the scoring very occluded, and I find trying to plan for a high score very, very difficult just because I can't get my head around it mid-game, right? So I kind of just play the best I can when I play Kanban and hope for the best. Flamecraft Duels, D-U-A-L-S, not D-U-E-L-S, which is dragons that have two, I guess, aspects is coming. And Tricerion, the 10-year anniversary. Now, I don't need Tricerion the 10-year anniversary because I have everything Tricerion in the collector's box. But there's a new module coming, apparently, and there's some quality of life enhancements. And they've said, yep, absolutely, 100%. Everything we give you, everything that's part of this that's extra will fit in the collector's box, which is exciting news. Always happy to hear that it's all going to fit. Following on from that, look, I'm going to be watching. I don't know how much interest I'm going to have at the back end of it, but Awakened Realms is doing two different Agricola releases this year. They're doing an Agricola special edition a la Puerto Rico and Castles of Burgundy. I've never played Agricola. Agricola is one I'd love to play. I don't know that I'm going to be in for this because it's probably going to be a $400 monstrosity. That said, I love Castles of Burgundy and I've never played Castles of Burgundy. I just went, that looks fantastic. Gameplay looks great. And I went all in for the Castles of Burgundy big box. They're also releasing Agricola Zombies. You know, it's not Zombicide, it's Agricola Zombies. And that's coming out. That looks wildly fun. Cardboard Alchemy has announced expansion for Andromeda's Edge. Now, Andromeda's Edge is the spiritual successor to Dwellings of Ildavale. Dwellings of Ildavale was fine. I enjoyed it. It was fine. I really like Andromeda's Edge. I think Andromeda's Edge is something that is worth playing. It's worth your time. It's interesting. It's unpredictable. It's fun. And on the table, it is spectacularly gorgeous. So they've got an expansion coming called Genesis. It's more Andromeda's Edge. As I said, this is the, what is it? The The Hig Vodge, the half-yearly Good Vibes Only Jamboree. So it's just a little more. Arc Nova's got their big box quality of life stuff coming with all the acrylic tokens and all the watch this space and don't know anything about it. No one knows anything about it. They released some renders earlier in the month of some stuff. The tiles have that same look and feel of the chunky acrylic tiles from Castles of Burgundy, kind of sort of soft edges, big chunky pieces, tiles for everything, and it looks like 3D sculpts for your kiosks and blah, 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 blah. Maybe. I don't know. Arc Nova is, I think, the most played game that Super Trooper and I have played together. The money is the shittest money in board gaming, but the game's fantastic. Watch it. I'll be watching closely. And what else? What else? What else? What else? Cassus Belli. Cassus Belli is an up-and-coming game this year by Martin Wallace. And it is like a space-ish 4X, 3.2X. Looks really interesting. It looks really good. I'm very excited to see more about Cassus Belli. Cassus Belli is coming. And I think, that's all I've got? I think that's all I've got. That's all I've got, clappers. That is the end. We've come to the end of the Good Vibes Only Celebrate what's coming in 2025. That's an hour 15 OMC crew of just celebrating all the goodness that's coming. I don't know about you, but I am in a headspace where I am happy. I am excited. I can't wait for this year. I think it's going to be a wonderful year for gaming, despite all the stuff that's going on right now. If you are deeply affected by what's happening on a personal level, and I don't mean end user, I mean if you are in the board game industry, you had something on the water when this was all announced, or you have something that's imminent, you know, my heart goes out to you, right? Honestly, like, it is a tough space to be in, and I feel for you. And for any company out there that at any point this year can't deliver one of these games that I've backed, it's okay. I'm sorry for your loss. You know, if you get to a point where you have to say, guys, it's not going to happen, and here's why. Hey, I know it's not about me. It's not about what we could or couldn't have done. It's just the world's a shitty space for that right now. And just know that we're going to be okay. If I don't get one of my toys, I'm going to be okay. That concludes this week's therapy session. I feel lighter. Thank you, OMC crew, for judging me silently rather than using your outside voice. It's Easter Sunday here, and due to reasons, I've got the house to myself. Whatever will I do? Next week, so long as I can calculate the alignment of Jupiter with my anus, I'll be chatting with two legends of podcasting. Daylight savings means I need to channel Galileo Galilei to get the math right, because I fucked it up earlier in the year. So here's hoping. You can reach me on all the socials. Find me on Facebook by searching One Man Clapping. Email me at wonmanclapping@gmail.com. You can Instagram at the number one Man Clapping. You can join the One Man Clapping Guild on BGG. Subscribe to Guild 4426. And there might be stuff there. We'll see. You can help OMC by dropping me a like on Facebook or Instagram. Or leaving a review on whatever platform you choose. If it's a bad review, I can take it. I have three daughters. I get told I'm crap house all the time. And thank you, as always, for your time. Your time is precious, and the fact that you chose to waste an hour of it listening to how I spend my time is always humbling. Until next time, get your game on, even if you've got to play with yourself. And remember, if you cheat while playing solo games, you are a terrible, terrible person. Just the worst. We call that chaotic neutral. Peace out, mofos. Seriously, down with tariffs. Down with tariffs.